This is Studio A from Interlochen Public Radio.
I'm Nancy Dineen, and today our guest is Sean Chen, pianist, composer, arranger. Welcome, Sean, and thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
This weekend, you're wearing your pianist hat with the Traverse Symphony Orchestra, but how do you manage it all?
Well,
being all these things.
I'm not all those things all the time. I think, you know, being a modern day musician sometimes requires you to do things out of your normal shell, so to speak. So it's not just about playing piano. You have to find ways to kind of distinguish yourself and do something that's uniquely something that you only you can provide. And from a young age, I've always liked sort of improvising and playing by ear and orchestral repertoire. And so it kind of just naturally extended to me trying to play some of these pieces on the piano. And then I kind of formally sat down and did more arranging as I got older. So it's kind of just pieces I like, I want to play on the piano. Not that we don't have enough pieces to play for the piano already, but I was in youth orchestra, so I have a little bit of connection to that kind of sound world.
What did you play?
I played violin, and my wife's a violinist in the Kansas City Symphony, so I, you know, whenever I go, I get to hear that repertoire. And there's a lot of great music there, and I like to share that with audiences, especially the audience that generally comes to piano recitals don't always go to chamber music and orchestral concerts, so it's nice to be able to expose them to music that I like too. So that's kind of how the arranging came about. And I think when you do that, you are already kind of putting your foot in the composing world. I grew up playing video games and I really liked the music in there. So actually I really wanted to be a video game music composer when I was younger. And so that kind of naturally leads to just sometimes writing some stuff for the piano. I don't do a whole lot of composition these days, but so yeah, it's, you know, they're all kind of related. You find time sometimes to explore some ideas, and you know, the brain's always thinking about like, oh, would this piece be good to arrange, or would this be good to, you know, what's my next composition? But mostly I'm just practicing piano and performing and teaching. So yeah.
And you're at university.
It's University of Missouri, Kansas City Conservatory. I've been teaching there for 5 years now, and it's great. So, yeah, the students are wonderful. And, you know, being a teacher informs you and teaches yourself a lot, but teaches you about yourself as a pianist and person. So,
and when we were chatting just a little bit ago before the microphones were on, you mentioned that in preparation for a recital or a performance of whatever kind, you recommend that your students record because it's a whole different thing. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So for me, part of the fun of performing a recital or, you know, on stage is the energy in the room. You know, you have people watching you. They give you kind of feedback, not in, you know, any active way, but you know someone's listening. And when you're in the studio, I feel like there's this striving for like note perfect perfection, you know? And putting a microphone on and recording myself gives me that pressure. Sometimes when you're practicing, you don't often, you know, tell yourself, okay, I can't stop. I gotta, you know, just go through as if a performance. And putting a microphone on for me is a way to simulate that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I force myself to listen to it. You sit down with the score, you mark it up as if you were teaching yourself. It's a good way to evaluate yourself because it's hard to hear what you sound like at the piano.
How's your time in Northern Michigan been so far?
I just got in yesterday. Driving's a little, more slippery than I'm used to, but it's very nice. It has a very Michigan feel, which I like. Went to a restaurant last night and stayed at the hotel. So, but yeah, glad to be here and really looking forward to getting to know Interlochen better too.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. I hope you can take a walk around campus and I hope you enjoy.
I'm sure I will.
This Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto No. 3, it might be on the favorites list of lots of concert goers. Recently, Kevin Rhodes referred to it as the Matterhorn of piano concertos. How do you approach a piece that has such a well-known, magnified importance?
I think with pieces that are really well-known, as a pianist, And as a musician, it's important to not take the piece as you know at face value. I think, especially for us performers, we have to dig into the music to find what it means to us and also kind of reevaluate standard performance practice. Like, why do people play it this way? Why is it all recordings, you know, do this passage this way? Maybe the composer wrote this and actually everyone doesn't do that. Then is there some way we can reconcile that? Or is, and so you try different things and you try to bring your own opinions and principles to the piece and the interpretation. And that way you're not just doing another Rock 3. You know, I mean, it's a great piece. And if you just play it the way everyone knows it, then it's fine too. But I think it's more rewarding artistically to dig in and make choices, even if they're the same choices, even if you end up as, okay, well, I think everyone, the way everyone does it is the right way to do it. That's the way that makes sense. That's fine. But I think making those conscious decisions and opinions is really important to really understand the piece. Yeah, I think you have to be kind of uniquely opinionated to be a musician.
Here in the studio today, you've brought three pieces that aren't the concerto. What will you share with our listeners first?
We're going to start with the Debussy Reflet dans l'eau, Reflects on the Water from Image Book 1. It's this, you'll recognize it when you hear it, but it's this wonderful impressionistic piece by Debussy, really using a lot of arpeggios and blending of sonorities to create this visual effect of light bouncing around and diffusing and refracting through water. I think when people think of Debussy, this kind of sound world is what they think of. So I really enjoy it.
I want to ask you, sure. I've always wondered, what is it about Debussy's piano music that makes it so much at the heart of teaching piano and of the first things that students perform when they get to a serious level?
I think a lot of his earlier works, they're difficult not in the technical, like lots of notes ways. I mean, there's a lot of them too in arpeggios, but I think the difficulty lies more in sound control and pedaling and phrasing. And so I guess that you can use them at all levels of pedagogy. You can use them for beginners. And as you get more and more advanced and more in tune with, you know, the more nuanced things you can do on the piano, they're still applicable. You know, you can still get a lot of mileage from, as a teacher, teaching those pieces. There are kind of categories in Debussy's repertoire for the levels. But yeah, I think in general, it's this combination of sophistication, not in finger work necessarily. And a lot of it is pattern-based, which I think is really helpful to learning when you're a beginner, because you recognize these patterns. And it's not about playing individual notes. It's about thinking them in groups and gestures. And Debussy is really good. His music is really good for emphasizing that.
Reflections in the Water by Claude Debussy from Image Book 1. Sean Chen in Studio A at Classical IPR.
Thank you.
Reflections in the Water from Image Book 1 by Claude Debussy. That was pianist Sean Chen, our guest in Studio A today here at Interlochen Public Radio. Sean Chen is soloist this weekend with the Traverse Symphony Orchestra. He'll be playing Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 3 with the TSO, conducted by Kevin Rhodes. Do you have a favorite type of music or a favorite composer's style to play?
I have favorite styles, I guess. But there are very few pieces where I learn it and I perform it and then I don't like it. You know, in the process of learning a piece and getting it ready for performance, I think you bond with it and you find the qualities that you enjoy. Not, you know, not every part of every piece you love, but I think, especially in the standard repertoire, there aren't many pieces that I would say, oh, I wouldn't, you know, I hate that piece or I would never play it. I enjoy playing Bach. I enjoy playing Beethoven, Brahms. I used to not get Schumann. He was too crazy for me, but I think as I got older, I kind of understand that mentality a little better. And after researching his life and reading about him more, and now I really enjoy playing Schumann as well. Especially his concerto is wonderful. Yeah, I like exploring also pieces that are not played very often. Like, well, nowadays it's kind of having a resurgence, but Nikolai Metner, who was Rachmaninoff's kind of pen pal, and I don't know if they were classmates, but they were friends. And his music is of other composers in it, but very fun to play pianistically. He's a pianist composer is what they say, because the way he writes is very, I think it's more fun to play as a pianist than it is necessarily to enjoy as a listener, especially if it's not played well. But so yeah, I think it's good to keep an open mind as a musician. I mean, even if something turns you off at first. Somebody told me it takes like 7 times listening to something to really understand it. And I think that's probably true, at least. I mean, if it's something that's very abstract or, you know, 12-tone music, I think more than 7 times. But yeah, it's good to give things a chance before you make a decision.
What do you have to play next for our listeners?
So we're going to have the Schubert Impromptu in E-flat major. Yeah, Schubert's a wonderful composer, very lyrical. I'm sure, recognize the piece immediately.
That was just beautiful. As you mentioned, very recognizable. Impromptu in E-flat major, Opus 90, number 2 by Franz Schubert. Sean Chen in Classical IPR's Studio A. What does your preferred concert day look like? What do you want a concert day to look like for you?
I'd like some practice time, some warm-up time, some practice time. I like to keep the day pretty normal. Like, I don't want to shock my system and like, oh, something's different today, you know? So I try to eat the same meals I do. If I can wake up the same time that I usually wake up, or at least just not try to force something different on myself. I got this from my friend. He has a banana before he plays. Or he has, I think, something like one banana 1 hour and then another one half an hour before he plays. And it helps him with like some muscle control issues, not really issues, but comfortability. And I've kind of adapted that. I think it does help, you know, having that potassium, those potassium ions in your, for your muscles to work properly is important. So I do that now and it gives you a little bit of energy too. So something like nothing crazy. I don't have any really big rituals or any requirements.
So next is the Etude Tableau in D minor, Opus 39, number 8 by Rachmaninoff. And Rachmaninoff is the composer you're playing with the symphony on Sunday. Are there similarities?
Sure. They're the same key. They're both D minor. So that's sort of partially why I chose this piece. The concerto is a little earlier of a piece. I would say the Etudes in general, Opus 39, are a bit more adventurous harmonically and maybe even more colorful in their piano writing. I mean, there's a lot of great things in the concerto, and there's a full range of possibilities of piano writing in there, but I think the Etudes kind of refine that, and obviously being Etudes, they focus on certain aspects of piano technique or music making or both. So he gets, I guess, the experimental liberty to do that maybe a little bit more in the Etudes than something like the concerto. I think they also sound slightly more modern, maybe, you know, just a little bit. It is unmistakably Rachmaninoff when you hear this Etude. An interesting fact about these Etudes, Opus 39, is that he kind of peppers throughout the whole set references to Dies Irae. It's hidden. It's not very obvious. He's not hitting you over the head with it. But if you listen to the intervals, you can find it kind of everywhere through the piece.
Our children's show, Kids Commute, had a whole week on Dies Irae.
Really? Oh.
And how it's hidden everywhere.
Yeah.
And
especially those Russians. I think they really like to, like, you know, put that in there. And then something kind of challenging for me in this Etude is that there's a section with spans of tenths, and you can barely roll them. It's kind of brisk, and my hands aren't quite big enough to just plop down a tenth. So, well, Rachmaninoff could do it no problem, but for most of us mortal pianists, so we have to negotiate somehow. So that's always a fun challenge because you never know how it's going to turn out.
A stretch metaphorically and literally.
Yes.
Rachmaninoff's Etude in D minor, Opus 39, number 8. Here is Sean Chen in Studio A at Interlaken Public Radio.
Thank you.
Rachmaninoff's Etude in D Minor, Opus 39, Number 8, pianist Sean Chen, our guest today in Studio A at Interlaken Public Radio. You mentioned in your blog children's songs and improvising and having fun with that kind of thing. What's the most recent thing you did with a song from one of your kids' shows?
Well, I don't know if it's the most recent, but I'm a big fan of the show Bluey. I don't know if you know about it. It's this Australian cartoon about anthropomorphic dogs. And the composer for the series and the people he invites on it, sometimes they're co-composed. It's very eclectic. You hear references to Queen, to Beatles, to classical stuff. He uses Mozart and Beethoven and Bach and some parts of the planets. As a result, my oldest really likes Jupiter from the planets. When we're driving, sometimes she says, "I want planets," and so I have to, or
does that
I want make bingo.
Your heart
I want
smell?
Bingo. So, yeah, I mean, really glad that music can be enjoyable like that. Like, I don't have to force any kind of music. We just listen to it. I mean, most of it on the car is Daniel Tiger or, you know, some stuff from Blippi or things like that. But I think the most important thing is to get them to enjoy singing and dancing and enjoy listening to music, because that's the main thing. I mean, I wouldn't be playing music if I didn't enjoy it. It's too stressful. It's too hard. And so I think you have to really love it and has to be part of you and your life for you to do it. For me, I don't think I would enjoy this career if I didn't enjoy music as much as I do.
Sean Chen is the soloist with the Traverse Symphony Orchestra this Sunday, 3 p.m. in Corson Auditorium. On the program, Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 3 and Beethoven's 7th Symphony, Kevin Rhodes conducts. It's been such a pleasure, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Studio A is produced at Interlaken Public Radio, part of Interlaken Center for the Arts. Our digital content manager is Casey Brown. Amanda Sewell is our music director. Our recording engineer is Stefan Wiebe. Learn more at interlakenpublicradio.org.